Today is the 26th of September 2007 and I'm back outside the Dáil on its first day of opening after the summer holidays, and I'm with Peter Preston, who has today entered on his second hunger strike in front of the Dáil. Peter, thanks for talking to me. Many would say a lot of things to you, particularly on indie media, where we had a very kind of a rocky ride the first time around with you. There were people complaining that your hunger strike was not a genuine one. There was all sorts of allegations that you were getting burgers and that you were eating and, you know, and all the rest of it. What would you say to that?
Well, I'd say to this, there's cameras, CCC cameras, all over around here, all around here. I've never left here. I was never seen. You have to go to the toilet if you're eating. I was never seen going to any toilet. So that's what I say to that. I've done 64 days outside Dáil without eating a thing.
Right.
And the proof that would be in the CCTV cameras, and there wouldn't be one guard that would turn around and say that they've seen me, or anyone turn around that they've seen me eating anything. That's my answer to that.
So basically you just throw the ball into the other court on that one. Someone says that it wasn't genuine, you would ask them to prove otherwise.
Prove otherwise, because cameras, CCTV cameras are there, and if that was the case, let them bring it out there. Bring it, because it should be there. They see me go to the toilet.
I suppose another point to make here is that throughout the last hunger strike that you were still drinking tea and coffee, and
yes,
that the tea and coffee had sugar in it, and
yes,
this would have been sustenance. I remember reporting myself at one point that you were supposed to go off the sugar at a certain point.
Yeah.
But that is not the case, is it?
No, I did not go off the sugar, no. I was threatened to go off the sugar if I didn't get the meeting with Michael McDowell.
Right. But the meeting was offered to you?
Yeah, oh yes, I got that after it was 57 days on the hunger strike. For 57 days it was, it took for me to get a meeting with Michael McDowell. 57 days.
Another question would be, there are lots of people, and particularly over the years, there are lots of people who have protested outside the Dáil. Maybe most of them haven't been on hunger strike, but there's one man wandering up and down in front of the Dáil for 17 years. I suppose it would be obvious to the readers of indie media and the listeners, I suppose, that the first hunger strike, even though it achieved a meeting with McDowell and other parties, that overall it wasn't a success. Why a second hunger strike?
Because the first meeting was really a success in a way, because I can prove now that Michael McDowell covered this up and the Department of Justice covered this up.
Right.
That's that. Now the second reason why I'm on the hunger strike, because I do not want to be like that man who's walking up and down here for 17 years being ignored for contempt. I have to bring this to a head, and this is a very, very, very serious, this is even more serious than what happened to my daughter. We're talking about the alcohol abuse, 16 and 17 year old children we're talking about, in their dozens, under the noses of the teacher for their faces, 30 of them, and again, she can't, and this girl got away, immune from prosecution.
Right.
So this is bigger than my daughter even now. And I was allowed out here for 64 days on hunger strike, and not one word from Bertie Henry was going to let me die, not one word from him about this book. He knew what my hunger strike was about. Not one word from him or any actions from him whatsoever. Friends of his allowance is poor. So this is a lot more serious than what happened to my daughter. A lot more serious.
Another question that I want to kind of broach with you is the fact that particularly on indie media, the last time around, there was an awful lot of time spent arguing back and forwards that this was all about a criminal case, and that the criminal case had gone through the courts, and that you had your chance and all this stuff. What would you say to them? Is this about a criminal action?
Never was anything to do with a criminal action. This is about a civil case. And it was mentioned, a little piece of my story was mentioned in the Village magazine in September 2005. And yeah, it was mentioned, the criminal case was mentioned, but it also was the civil case and involving corruption, a conspiracy of corruption involving solicitors, barristers, the pub, Gardaí from two police stations and a high court judge, and Joe Costello. Joe Costello's name was mentioned in this Village magazine. that when I gave him documents and when I got them back, documents were missing.
Right.
That's in black and white in the Village magazine. They said never, my own strike of protest never had anything to do with the case. And Michael McDowell knew that from, which say he was thinking from 2004.
Yes.
Well, they knew from 2005 when he read that in the Village magazine. And he wasn't ignorant to leave me out here 57 days on hunger strike saying this about the case. Right? And when I met him, I outlined that to him, that my protest and my hunger strike have nothing got to do with the criminal case. There was civil action, my daughter against his brothers.
Well, I can remember seeing questions put to the Dáil, and I remember McDowell and others, that the reply always contained an element of the criminal case, as if that is what your protest was about. What do you say to that?
I say that was all spin. All spin. And that's what that is. Because I began the same answer from 2004, from questions that Deputy Finian McGrath asked about my case,
yes,
in the Dáil, and I got the same answer back, after my hunger strike, that this is about the criminal case, and that was dealt with in the courts, and there's nothing that they can do about it. So I get the same answer all the time.
Right, I suppose we'll wind up with one or two short questions at this point. One of the things that is striking about your protest is the fact that you are asking Bertie Ahern to account. Now, you're suggesting that this pub that you say was giving drink or serving drink to minors, you're saying that Bertie Ahern was a regular drinker there and that he was friends of the owners, and that this is really the only evidence of his involvement in this plot as you see it. Yet, with your protest, Bertie Ahern seems to be the main focus of the protest. Could you explain a bit more why you see Bertie Ahern in such an important light in all of this?
First of all, if a pub can get away with serving, knowingly catering for and serving alcohol to 16 and 17 year old children in their dozens for years and years, under the noses of Air T-Shop, Air T-Hand and Garda Shea Conor, where does that pub get that power? That's one. Number two, where does it get the power to, when my daughter took a civil action against this pub for our injuries, you can't say for our injuries that happened on these premises, where does the pub get the power to have it involved in this conspiracy of corruption, involved the pub against my daughter, the pub, Garda from two police stations, my daughter soliciting barristers, the pub soliciting barristers, a high court judge, and then Joe Costello. Where does that pub get that power? The smoking gun here. Now, and another reason why would Bertie Ahern leave me outside the Dáil 64 days without doing or saying anything about this pub? 64 days. Why? To leave me the Dáil.
I suppose one last question. It's something that I've thought about just over the last year myself an awful lot, and it's something I'd like you to elaborate on, please. When your daughter was initially attacked, you told me just one of the last times we did an interview that she had repeatedly asked the pub and the authorities in the pub to phone an ambulance for her, and her friend had done the same.
Yeah.
And she eventually made her way outside the pub, where more requests were put to the pub to phone an ambulance. Yet, there was no ambulance forthcoming. After that, her friend phoned an ambulance on her behalf, and lo and behold, the ambulance arrived nearly immediately. To me, and I suppose I couldn't be described as too much of an impartial observer, because I like to examine things, but to me, this would say that the pub did not want to get involved in by any means whereby they could come under an investigation.
Mm-hmm.
And it would seem to me to tie in what you would say with regard to them serving minors. If they don't want to call the authorities an ambulance or anything like that, where the Gardaí would automatically be part and parcel of the package, it would suggest that they did not want the Gardaí on the premises for a reason. Would you agree with what I'm after saying?
Well, what I'd say to that is this. I'd say that there was two doormen on this Dáil that night.
Right.
And these two doormen allowed these two thugs that viciously assaulted my daughter and my daughter's boyfriend walk past them, knowing what they'd done, Let them go out of the pub, get rid of them out of the pub, without holding them for the Garda Síochána Conn. Without holding them for the guards, that's one. Second, this pub was asked on a number of occasions to phone for an ambulance. They never did. They phoned for the Garda order, they never phoned for an ambulance, because when my daughter went outside and left out there for about 15 minutes waiting for an ambulance that was not coming, a friend of hers phoned up and says, where's the ambulance? What if they phone them? Where's the ambulance? And they were told that there was no phone call from the pub. So the first phone call the ambulance got was from a friend of my daughter's outside the pub. And that was about 15 minutes after this happened to my daughter.
Okay, one last question, Peter. And that's a difficult topic for me to approach, I suppose, because, as you know, I don't agree with the fact that you're hurting yourself in order to make a statement to someone else who is also trying to hurt you, in your own words. Can you give me the details of what this hunger strike will involve? Is it going to be similar to last one? Are you going to be on sugar? I mean, just give the ins and outs of the hunger strike and what you intend to do.
I will be on tea. I will drink tea. I will drink tea and sugar. I'll have water. And that's what I'll have. And I have, there's a thing called, I think it's called the Aurolites, that for my salt, I got that last year. My doctor gave them on the last 2 weeks or something.
Keep the kidneys function.
Yeah. So because I'm not as strong physically, I am mentally, I'm not as strong physically this year as I was last year. And so, and my eyesight is not the same as I was before I started my hunger strike last year. And I'm led to believe that the first thing that goes will be our eyesight. So that's what I'm worried about. So yes, I will take the Aurolites for to keep the kidneys functioning properly, and I will take sugar and salts that will keep me entertained, because I want to be as healthy as I can for when, please God, that I come off this hunger strike.
Right. Well, I suppose all that remains to be said, Peter, is Jesus, man, I wish you the best of luck on this.
Thank you very much.
I wish you weren't doing it.
Well, but
it's your decision. Yeah. I mean, I can't be going around telling you what to do. But thank you very much for the interview.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Thanks, Sean.
Thanks, Sean.